Welcome to Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Author and attorney Roberta Grimes will explore and illustrate how she, through her childhood experiences, has discovered channels of communication to the afterlife and how these implications have an effect on our everyday lives. Please welcome the host of Seek Reality, Roberta Grimes.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and we're coming to you live on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. Dear friends, we are now in the midst of a revolution in human thinking, you and I. It's happening all over the world, and it's shifting the earth beneath our feet. Those we used to think were dead are making a powerful effort now to reveal themselves to our awareness worldwide and in this generation. They're trying to raise the consciousness of all of humankind, and they're trying to do it fast. What an exciting time this is to be alive. And as part of this global effort to raise our awareness, apparently many of us signed up before we were born to act as conduits of information between those we used to think were dead and those of us who are now on Earth. I didn't know until I had reached retirement age that actually, I'm one such person. I realize now that I'm doing something I promised to do a long time ago. And another such volunteer is apparently our guest tonight, the illustrious August Goforth. That's a pseudonym, but I love August's name. August Goforth has written a book called The Risen. Actually, he's co-written it. The Risen is one of the best and most beautifully written books about the afterlife and the meaning of life that I have ever read, and I've read a lot of them. Welcome, August. I'm thrilled to have you here.
Thank you, Roberta. I'm thrilled to be here.
We're going to have fun with this. I love this book. Now, when you're reading a book, you want it to be beautiful. You want the language to sing. You want it to speak to your heart. And The Risen speaks to your heart in such beautiful music that you'll love this book. I just found it so entertaining and so, so fascinating. First, though, August, tell us, you have a day job. What is it you do when you're not being this wonderful seer?
What I do to make money for cat food is I'm a psychotherapist here in New York City. I'm a licensed psychotherapist. I have a very thriving private practice. And I keep it separate from my mediumship explorations and activities and writings, which is not always easy to do, but at the same time, it becomes a wonderfully blended kind of endeavor that I do work with certain mediums as their psychotherapist, but those are far and few between. But majorly, my job is as a therapist here.
I identify somewhat with your concern because we all worry that if we have a serious day job and we're also doing this work, which I've been doing all my life, we don't want the twain to meet. I'm an attorney and I still practice law. And I still remember vividly 6 years ago when I finally wrote a book and it was coming out, having to come out to my clients. I had to say, oh, by the way, here I am sitting in my business suit. I've written a book called The Fun of Dying, Find Out What Really Happens Next. And I don't know if you've ever done that and actually explained to any of your patients or clients what you do, but the range is amazing. Some people love it and become fascinated. Other people say, well, now onto the next contract, but this provision, they don't want to know. They really don't want to know.
Right. I suppose maybe the kind of work that I do as a therapist is the most challenging and shaky ground because I just can't, you know, I'm working with all kinds of people, dealing with all kinds of issues of mental wellness and mental illness, and I just can't casually come out and say, oh, by the way, I see dead people. That's not going to go over well with a lot of people. And everyone, you know, I've discovered because I work really what I call the front lines, I see maybe 30 to 35 people a week that I maintain therapy for.
Wow.
The vast array, especially here in New York, of culture, of religious and spiritual understanding, family background, of inner metaphysical growth, or lack of it. Everyone is so vastly different, and you just can't simply refer them to works that might make a lot of sense to them in the way you could maybe a regular self-help book or something like that. So really, a lot of my work is there are some gifted people that do end up in my office because people in spirit bring them there and make sure they're safe and then they leave. But primarily, my job is to help people discover their own inner path to redevelop a sense of their own self-authority and spirituality as well, too. So, of course, it gets very complicated, as you can imagine.
Oh, sure. And I think it's a wonderful kind of knowledge and awareness for a psychotherapist to have, because so many of the issues people have spiritual roots. And so you can probably help them as nobody else could. So the day will come, and it won't be far away, when the fact that you also have these abilities will be an asset in your day job. But you've been doing this all your life, right? When you were a child, you were already seeing spirits. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Right. I didn't know that I was seeing spirits. Both of my grandmothers, now I recognize many years later, both of my grandmothers were mediums, different kinds of mediums. And there were several gifted people psychically on both sides of the family. But people where I grew up in the mountains of Appalachia, people didn't really have a sophisticated understanding or background or language talk about these things. It was just a normal part of life. For example, my grandfather was the town dowser, and so he helped people find water in the wells, and no one thought that was weird or strange. You know, they just really appreciated it. So same thing in terms of when I was very little, if someone talked about having seen so-and-so, whom everyone knew had transitioned years ago, but they were still talking to them, nobody said, you know, well, that's really strange, or you're crazy, or something like that. They just, oh, well, that's really interesting. Tell us about it. So it was always presented as kind of a normal thing. This didn't last for all of my life because, you know, as people got older and had more kids and technology started coming in and the world was getting crazier and money was harder and stuff, you know, people sometimes lost sight of the simpler things in life and became overwhelmed by bills and children and divorces and deaths and stuff like that. So as I got older, maybe in my teens and my 20s, a lot of the understanding and essence of what we knew when I was much smaller was sort of fading away in many ways.
I think it's that's an important point, the fact that, two things. Number one, many people, I would say most people of whom I'm aware who have natural ability to communicate with those we used to think were dead, come from a line of people, or in some cases on both sides of the family, they have people who also had this ability. It seems to be hereditary. So just if you're listening and you wonder if you have it, look at your family tree. Ask about your eccentric relatives and see if other people had it as well. I think of all the books I've read lately that I can even recall, this is the best one I've found, which talks about what the afterlife actually is like and what the meaning and purpose of our lives is. And it seems to me those are the two biggest questions we're all trying to answer. So this is an important book. Meanwhile, August is a lot of fun. We're going to go back to talking to him. Now, August, you have a buddy who is not now in a body named Timothy Gray. Right. And he was your friend when he still had a body, right?
Right, yes.
And how long had you known him? You were very close?
We had only known each other very briefly for maybe a couple years. This was over 20 years ago. And I'm a writer as well. And I met him through other friends who were writers. He was an editor for several publishing houses in New York and was interested in writing children's books as well. So we became very close. And in fact, over time, we fell in love and we were beginning to have a relationship. And what drew us together also was that he was very intensely interested, as I was, in in metaphysics and numerology and tarot, and he had studied all these things on his own, and I had studied other things on his own, and he was very fascinated by mediumship, and there was very little in terms of the book world that was going on then, and he was trying to bring those things to publishing, and he actually had, at the time, was just finishing up writing a book with Alex Canis called Dreams, Symbols, and Psychic Power. Alex was a very well-known psychic. And so Tim and I got to know each other that way.
But then he died, he was one of the people who was felled by the epidemic going on at that point that so many people died of. I mean, it's a tragic story, except it has this wonderful ending because he came back to you. At what point did you start to see him again?
So he had contracted HIV, which quickly went into AIDS in those days because there really was no help from anyone.
Right.
The government was so marginalized. And he was traveling all around the world, trying all kinds of very strange remedies, trying to survive, but eventually ended up transitioning on Christmas Eve.
This was mid-90s, somewhere like that?
The mid-90s, And it just really pulled a big plug on my life, and I was probably at one of the lowest points in my life in terms of my emotional well-being and psychologically not dealing with the grief of it very well. And it wasn't until that I made some major changes in my life and my lifestyle that he was able to get through to me. I didn't know it, but he had been trying to get through to me almost not too long after he had transitioned. And it was just a very brief physical manifestation, I call it. I'm sort of normalizing it, but I was sitting in my room one day and turned, and he was just sitting there on my bed, lurking at me, basically, and then disappeared. And that moment completely changed my life around. Up to that point, I didn't realize that there was such a thing as mediumship per se, because I'd never been to a medium. That's not something that was done where I grew up. I didn't know anything about physical mediumship. So for the first few days, I just kind of wandered around in the days thinking that I was crazy. And then when I shared it with someone who didn't judge me, and things started to become more clear. And that's when everything sort of just did this 180 in my life. And he continued to manifest at various points from there on for the next few years in some pretty stunning physical manifestations, I would say.
So, but then at one point, like 15 years ago, he told you that it was time to write a book.
Yes. I had become friends with people at the Monroe Institute for consciousness studies. And so I took a trip down there. And Robert Monroe was not alive at that time. He had already transitioned, but Monroe had actually come to me in a dream the night before I flew down, and he was really excited that I was going down. He said, "You're going to love it, and we have a great surprise for you." And then I became friends with Robert's daughter and told her about it, and she showed me some very interesting things that they were doing down there in terms of research into the afterlife. And it was on my last day that I was there. I was studying for a week there that Tim came to me out of body and said, "Oh, by the way, there's some friends of mine here that we'd like to see if you'd help us write a book."
His 1,500 closest friends. A couple of things I just want to explain to people who may not be as familiar with these things. Number one, the Monroe Institute, I recommend everyone. Bob Monroe was, I think, the greatest out-of-body traveler in the modern age, and he founded an institute that can help anybody do all kinds of things with consciousness. And the lovely people, lovely place, beautiful in the Virginia mountains. I recommend it to everyone, and obviously it was wonderful for you, August, as well. But
I would recommend videos.
Your little testimonial will help. So did you love it?
Absolutely. I felt like I was home. Again, though, I really felt like I was sort of underground because people there weren't talking about mediumship. They were talking about out of the body. And so I sort of felt like I had to stay in the closet, and I kind of came out to a couple people while there that, well, I'm a medium, and they just sort of looked at me like they could see my third eye and
yeah.
didn't quite understand what it was, because there are differences between out-of-the-body experiences and mediumship,
yes.
but they also...
And this is one thing that we are in the process of ending now, which is the fact that this field is kind of separated. With people who have different pursuits tend not to know about the others. We're trying to bring that together, and that's something I'll be doing a whole show on in a little bit. But meanwhile, we just need to take another quick break, and then afterwards we're going to talk about what August learned from Tim about... and his 1,500 closest friends about the afterlife. This is Roberta Grimes on Seek Reality, and we will be right back.
Psychologist, master certified coach, and CEO of the executive and organizational development firm True North Leadership, Dr. Relly Nadler brings his expertise in emotional intelligence to keynotes, consulting, coaching, and training. He is the author of Leader's Playbook and Leading with Emotional Intelligence that lays out tips and tools for effective leadership. Dr. Nadler has designed multi-day executive boot camps for high achievers in Fortune 500 companies and has coached CEOs, presidents, and their staff, and developed and delivered innovative leadership programs for such organizations as Anheuser-Busch, BMW, MCI, EDS, DreamWorks Animation, the U.S. Navy, and Vanguard Health Systems. To learn more and get your free iPhone app highlighting his tools with videos, Leadership Keys, visit www.truenorthleadership.com today.
Certified professional coach Pamela Reeves can help you with your relationships. Motivational and image coaching are just some of the ways she can help you enhance all aspects of your life. Her book, Is It Love or Merely a Sick Attachment?, helps readers clearly distinguish healthy, loving relationships from toxic ones. Ms. Reeves has put her words into action through Ray of Hope Kenya, an international initiative that provides outreach to victims of abusive relationships there with the goal of helping them rebuild their lives and the tools to avoid abuse. Ms. Reeves operates various business interest through her umbrella network, Nella LLC, and credits her success to her diverse work experience. Whatever your goals, whether striking a balance, reinventing your image, or simply lifting your lifestyle, Pamela Reeves will help you achieve them. Your life, your call. Dial 410-902-5715 or email Pamela at pamregeo1@verizon.net. She's also on the web at pamreeves.com and on Twitter at Pamela_Reeves.
Welcome back to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio, and my wonderful guest is August Goforth. We're going to talk now about some of the things that you'll learn when you read The Risen, and we'll also understand why it's called The Risen, but it's important first that you understand that when the dead work with the living, they tend to do it in groups. It's not, you may be surprised to hear there are 1,500 beings, some of them very advanced, who helped to write this book. That's not an uncommon story. Even if you're communicating just with your Uncle Fred through a medium, very often there are other spirits involved helping to make that happen. When we get there, we'll also do things in groups and be joyous about doing it. But first, tell us, August, why they call the book The Risen. Who are The Risen? And then I'd like to hear a little of what surprised you most that you learned from Tim about the afterlife.
Well, for the most part, I just view them as people because that's what they are. They aren't any different.
Right.
They're still people. They think of themselves as people. But I was trying to find the right kind of language that would convey the right kind of vibration with the language that there's something more to them now. There's something different. And so you have people like Arthur Findlay, who referred to the Aetherians, which is
right.
a wonderful word from The Wizard of Oz or something. And then there's Stuart Edward White and his wife Betty called them the Invisibles. And Tim would say, well, we're not etheric and we're not invisible. We're just people. But I think it's because For me, they went into my mind and they found the idea of the risen from my understandings of the Bible with this metaphysical text where Jesus was saying, you know, I haven't died, I've risen. And that's a very sophisticated, very beautiful word, I think, to describe not just who they are, but how they are, what the process is, how it happens, what it feels like to them. It feels like rising. It feels like their vibration is going up. It feels wonderful to them.
Yes, I think it's a great word, actually, for what the what we the people we used to think were dead, what they are now. Because in point of fact, everything is in the same place, just like different channels on a TV. And they're at much higher channels. They're at higher spiritual vibrations than we are. So they're risen really in quite a literal way. I think it's beautiful. And we'll talk a little bit in the next segment about another way that it makes sense, which is that one of the things that Tim and August try to do in the risen is help us learn how to raise our own spiritual vibration, which turns out to be critical. I'll be talking about that also in coming episodes. But what did you learn about the afterlife that kind of most excited or made you happiest?
I was just reading a book by a scientist named Robert Lanza called Beyond Biocentrism. And he's tackling different concepts of time in there. And he has a statement where he says there's an app that the afterlife is not now, it's later. He's talking about how people think, like, if they're good now, they'll be rewarded somehow later in the afterlife, which comes later. But what my experience has been is the afterlife is not later, it's now. That was the most exciting thing, is like, it's not like I have to get on some kind of a risen subway, and after I die, then I'm conveyed to another planet or something like that. And this has been honed into me for me with all the sittings that I've been to over the years and years from people in spirit, is that they're saying, we're not there, we're here. It's hard for you to understand that, but we're right here with you. But there are ways of experiencing that nowness, that here with us, that we want you to be with us here. We don't want you to mourn for us in the past or worry about us in the future. We want you to join us now, and we want to find ways to get you to learn how to join us now.
And so they put some emphasis on teaching communication, right? Tim was trying to communicate with you unsuccessfully, and then it began to work. And one of the things that we learn is that many of the dead teach communication. This is very important to everybody who has transitioned, that they want to be able to prove to those they love that they're just fine. So that's another way they're with us in the here and now. They literally are here talking to us in the room.
Exactly. And another thing that I didn't realize was that not everyone there is interested in here. They're not necessarily interested in communicating with us. Also, a lot of people bring over old belief systems with them where they don't believe that it's possible, or they still think that it's wrong in some way to get in touch with people on Earth. So not everyone is on board in the same way, and it's not easy for people to communicate with us here. If it was, a lot more of it would be happening.
That's right.
We make it very difficult. So there are easy ways of doing it. But yes, Tim and I do believe that everyone has the ability and capability of communicating with anyone that they're resonating with in love in some kind of a way.
I think it's an important point that you make, is that we're the same people after we graduate than we were when we were in bodies. Many people are surprised and kind of disappointed to find that they're not suddenly perfect after they transition. But whoever you would like to be when you're there, start building that person here, because that's who you'll be. Whoever you are when you die, you don't change much. But he talks about how beautiful it is there. He seems to be almost drunk on how lovely it is there. And that's something we hear a lot from people that we used to think were dead, that they're just dazzled by the almost physical, earth-like beauty of the place.
Yeah, it goes beyond description. Like, even using the word beautiful almost sounds dirty. I've had glimpses of it myself, that I've been sort of brought through what I would call portals, where I've seen some of it. But all the same, they're talking about what our quantum scientists are talking about now, is that the universe arises out of our consciousness, out of our mind, and not the other way around. So if the universe where Chin is very beautiful, that's because he has a beautiful mind and he's using it in a beautiful way. And there are other people that are not using it in the same way. So they experience conscious awareness of how the universe is unfolding around them would be very different than from Tim's or mine, for example.
Yeah, that's a very important point. And what Jesus called the outer darkness does indeed exist. The lowest, as what we believe is the lowest vibratory area of the afterlife, is exactly what he described, the outer darkness, where there will be gnashing of teeth and wailing, cold, dark, smelly, disgusting. And so people who truly believe that that's what's coming, that there's either they deserve hell or that they there's not anything after death, could put themselves in very unpleasant places, which to me is another reason why it's important to read a book like The Risen or like The Fun of Dying, anything that you can get your hands on so you begin to educate yourself about what's possible for you after death. Because as August points out, your mind is so powerful, it will conjure a reality for you. You want it to conjure something that is truly and deeply beautiful, because that's so possible. Anything is possible for you. Now, August, the reason I know all the things I know about the afterlife is I spent decades reading Communications from the Dead, received over almost 200 years, a lot of other stuff too. And your book is absolutely as detailed and complete as anything I've ever read. So did you do study, or did this all just come from Tim?
This didn't all just come from Tim. I had been studying for years, especially after Tim manifested and we teamed up together. And then I started teaming up with other people that he was a part of team. There's all kinds of different teams. Everyone has lots of groups and meetings going on the other side. I took part in some very early ITC explorations with Wendy and Victor Zammit many years ago, and Mark Macy and the Harsh Fish Box. I've done research with Julie Bachel at the Winbridge Institute and at the Monroe Institute. So I just accumulated a lot of book knowledge from the huge library that I've accumulated over the years. But also, I came to realize that a great deal is easily accessible without a book, that once you get to a certain level of understanding and lack of fear and a sense of spiritual self-authority, that you can work directly with people in spirit, and they're just crazy about wanting to share as much information with anybody as possible. It's difficult to somehow put that information into words that make sense to us. And that's what I struggle with mostly, is trying to find the right language to convey the right vibration.
Boy, you said so much there that's important. The fact that they are desperate to get this information to them, I don't think that's an overstatement. They really are. Most of our loved ones seem to be eager to kind of make sure they know that they get to us with the fact that they've survived. But as you point out, a lot of there's so much more to do there than there is here, and it's so much fun that often our own loved ones don't necessarily want to stick with it. They'll see us soon anyway, time being so different there. But the upper level beings of the sort that work with Tim are very concerned about our lives on the planet now, and are very anxious to teach us. And so you've plugged into them, and you're right, you're going to learn a whole lot from them, and they are desperate for you to know it. So the fact that you can put it into words for them, and as I say, quite beautiful words, it's just a wonderfully written book, that's valuable to them, very valuable.
Yes. It's also surprising to me, too, to realize that we're often sitting around waiting for them to make the first move and contact us. They're kind of doing the same thing. They're really waiting for us to make a move as well, too.
They don't want to interfere in our lives. As I said at the start of this hour, we're learning that many of the people who are now working in this field actually agreed to come in to do this work. I had no idea why I was so interested in these things until very late in my life. I was past retirement age when I finally got to meet my primary guide, who had been making me do this stuff all my life. And he said, "This is what you signed up to do. Time to start doing it." But you also, I am sure this is something that is part of what you've signed up to do. Do you have a guide that you have been in communication with as well? Have you talked with your guide about this?
I have a lot of guides.
Yes.
And some of them have been with me since childhood, but they come to fulfill certain spiritual purposes of growth for themselves as well, to learn things from me as well. And once they've learned those things or they've fulfilled whatever duty it is they've come to fulfill, they move on and another guide will come in. Sometimes it's a long time before I'm aware of these guides. We're not always given the privilege of knowing who our guides are, communicating with them. Sometimes they prefer to stay in the background and let us learn to walk on our own in some kind of a ways. But I have some guides that I still communicate with on a regular basis and some on a very limited basis. So it's all part and parcel of the same for me.
I should just tell everyone, everybody has at least one primary guide, usually signed up with us and stays with us through life. Not always. Sometimes if you need something quite different from what that guide can give you, someone will come in. But in my case, I always knew there were guides there. I just didn't want to know them until they broke into my life. And I have two primary guides that I'm in contact with a lot. But everybody mm-hmm. does. Everybody listening, you have guides too, and you can have a reading with a good medium who is expert at doing this and meet your own guides. Now, for someone like August, I'm not as psychic, anywhere near as psychic as you are, August, and I don't have it in my family. For someone like you, it's like, oh yeah, I got all these guides, and they come and they go, and it's normal to you. You've really never known, I don't think, what it's like to be someone who doesn't have your powers. You'd be surprised. It's like being blind in a way, not to be able to do what you do.
Well, it's really interesting you say that. That's a good point, because it took me years, probably until I was in my 40s, when I suddenly realized that other people weren't experiencing the same thing that I was. I was assuming somehow that everyone knew about their guides and knew how to talk to people. It didn't occur to me that it was any different until I got older.
Well, it's very different for most of us. But this is something which anybody who feels ready to do it, I didn't even care to until I met my guide quite unexpectedly, because he decided it was time to tell me what to do in person. They meet with us while we sleep. Our bodies are sleeping. Our minds don't need to. So we go meet in conference rooms and in fields in the afterlife levels or the astral. But everybody can get to know their guides in the daytime. And frankly, I think it enriches your life so much. You can be a little bit more like August and have it be part of your daily life once you get to know your guides. But one of the things that I think is very important about the Risen is that it is designed to help you raise your spiritual vibratory rate. The information that Tim has the person who's not now in spirit has put together is designed to help you grow spiritually. And I think that's, frankly, the most intriguing thing about your book, August, because learning about the afterlife is important, because once you know that you are going to live forever, it changes everything in your life. But Tim, who helped August to write this book, had a deeper purpose. He wasn't just interested in giving us a tour of the afterlife, but he wanted to help us understand why we're here and what we should be doing. Talk about that, August.
One thing that I have always valued about Tim is just his incredible sense of humor. And he's always been kind of, I've always been somewhat of a wallflower, and I get taking things too seriously, and he does not. And he really has finally hammered into my head that the reason that I'm here, the reason that any of us are here, is to simply have an experience of what it feels like to be alive, to have life, to have an experience, to be happy, to be joyous. There's no reason to be afraid. We're not here trying to fix anything that's broken.
Yes.
That there's plenty of opportunity for us to just simply, it's almost like the earth is seen by the Risen, who were once on the earth, as the cradle of life. It's honored by the Risen in a way that I can only say they almost worship the earth as a being of some kind. This is what gave birth to all of us, that we were sparked into life by the divine flame. And now we're free. We're totally free to move about this earth and play with the animals and climb the trees and grow food and do whatever we want and learn about love and kind of get our hands and feet and feel the sense of gravity and learn what it is that the universe will require from us later on in as teachers or guides or explorers or artisans or whatever it is that we want to be.
But he's also trying to help people raise their spiritual vibrations, right? So that they will be more advanced beings when they transition.
Yes, because the way that you raise your vibration, the only way you can't raise your vibration by feeling less than good. The only way you can raise your vibration is by feeling better. And when you feel good and when you feel better, you become happy. And when you're happy, you can join other happy people. And so by the law of attraction or spiritual affiliation, we start joining more and more people who are happy beings moving about. And these are the people that he works with. He wants us all to realize that we can be happy people too if we want to. It's not hard. We have to work a lot on our belief systems. We have to do a lot of practice. It takes a lot of practice because of the heavy gravity of situations. And there's a lot of fear on this planet right now. So, of course, that makes it more
terrible.
Difficult.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fear is the opposite of love. It isn't hatred that's the opposite of love. It's fear. And all of fear's byproducts, which include hatred and all the negativity. And it appears, mm-hmm. I don't understand entirely why, but we're told by upper-level beings that the negativity of the Earth now is such. That's why they are working so hard, through people like you, August, through all of us, to raise the vibration of the planet enough away from fear and toward love, that we won't continue to sink into the negativity that we are all aware is around us now. If you're an older person, you remember that it wasn't always so sort of fear-ridden and hatred and negativity-ridden. Mm-hmm. Things are getting worse and worse. I mean, you have that sense too, right, August?
I do, but I've come to view it in a different way, in that rather than allow myself to overfocus on the things that could cause me fear, I have practices that bless those people, that seek to raise their vibration, to help them be less afraid. And it seems like we're becoming more aware of some of the terrible things that are going on the planet, because it's in contrast to some of the most wonderful things that are going on in the planet. And it's sort of exposing a lot of the negativity that's going on. Before it was hiding in the shadows. Now all the negativity is coming out. It's being exposed to the light. And this is our chance to actually welcome these people and help them transform and do their own kind of transition while they're still on the planet, from a lower to a higher vibration.
That's what I love about you. You're so positive. What is it you want people most to take away from our conversation? What are your words of wisdom?
I don't know if they're wisdom, but it's very simply that there is no death. And there's also, fear is also an illusion. There's nothing to be afraid of in a universe that's only good. There's nothing bad in the universe. We make mistakes. We take wrong turns. We learn right now more through suffering, but I would like people to know that they can also learn through joy, and that should be the next step in anyone's evolution, is to be willing to let go of suffering in order to learn, and to embrace joy in order to learn. And that's what Tim has brought to me. Like, people where he's at in their environment, they learn constantly through joy. There is no suffering or pain there, but their learning continues to go on because of that joy.
It seems to be the case that at some point in our spiritual development, when we are sufficiently joyous, as you say, what a beautiful way to put it, when we are sufficiently love-filled and fearless, we no longer need to be here. We can grow, as you say, just fine where we are there. And that's mm-hmm. that's the beautiful place where we're all going. But now, how do you have a website? And how would we get to know you?
Yes, the website is therisenbooks.com, but you can also just Google my name, August Goforth, and stick in Tim's name or The Risen or something, and you'll find the blog, you'll find the website, you'll find the Amazon site where the book is sold, and there's also another book in progress, which hopefully will be published within the year.
You've been listening to A Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes live on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. I'm so grateful to you for sharing this time with us. And for more information, of course, on what we've talked about today, please just visit robertagrimes.com, or you might Google August Go Forth and see what you find. My dear friend, you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began, you never will end. And when you really get what that means, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. Our guest next week will be your host. My voyage toward finally coming to understand what really is going on has taken me most of a lifetime. And the biggest breakthrough of my life came when I was in my 50s. I had been the most zealous Christian you can possibly imagine. But one day in my 50s, I sat down and I actually compared what the dead were telling us with the gospel teachings of Jesus. That was when my life was transformed. We're not going to be talking about Christianity next week. We're going to be talking about the real meaning and message of Jesus. He came to us 2,000 years ago and told us things about God, reality, death, the afterlife, and the meaning and purpose of human life that we could not have confirmed by any means until the 20th century. This is the most amazing news, I think, in all of human history. We have confirmation now that Jesus is real. We have confirmation that the afterlife stuff is real. It's impossible for it not to be real with all the confirmations that these two sources of information give us. Whether you're a Christian or not, and I'm not, as I say, I'm not going to be talking about Christianity. I'm going to be talking about the truth as the dead give it to us and as Jesus confirms it. What I'm going to share with you next week is going to rock your world. So please join us. Now, this week, we've been talking with August Goforth about his glorious book, The Risen. His book is being reissued, and it's going to have a foreword by Victor and Wendy Zammit, who are the leading researchers and experts on the afterlife. Anything they recommend is extraordinary, and frankly, this is just that extraordinary. So give yourself a treat. Make the risen a key part of your own transformation. As Victor and Wendy say in their wonderful foreword, listen to this. Together, August and Tim have created a timeless classic full of valuable insights that's a wonderful addition to the field. It's a beautifully written book full of subtle insights about love, grief, and most of all, survival beyond death. My dear friends, I've said this before, but this channeling of information through people who turned out before they were born to have probably signed up for it is turning out to be a wonderful new 21st century phenomenon. Those we used to think were dead are working very hard now through so many people on earth to produce a flood of channeled and co-written books and other information about the afterlife. My own example is Mikey Morgan's book, which is flying high in spirit. Mikey is a sixth-level being with the help of his mother, poor woman. She said, I never would have signed up for this. He'd last lived on Earth 500 years ago, but he wanted to come back and teach us in the voice of a modern kid. So he took a 20-year lifetime that ended in 2007, and he and his mother got to work. Flying High in Spirit is their book, and I have had people tell me that it is the best book they have ever read. My own nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, and The Fun of Growing Forever. Of course, you can find past episodes of Seek Reality here on BBM Global Network, and going back to 13, 2.5-3 years of you can find of archive on both webtalkradio.net and iTunes. If you ever want to contact me, go to robertagrimes.com. I always read my emails and I always answer them. But meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. I'm so grateful you've listened. And for now, please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being and you are infinitely loved.
This has been Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Tune in each week and discover the nature of reality and God, past, present, and future in a way that can only be told by Roberta Grimes on the next episode of Seek Reality.